In Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. So if you want to turn there, this is the biblical account of Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer. So we need Acts chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 9. Now, before I get, there first, I guess. So young people, who has ever heard or knows, who knows what a sorcerer is? Somebody know what a sorcerer is? Meh? Yeah, it's like a wizard. The definition of sorcery is this: to perform, somebody who performs magical spells that harness occult forces or evil spirits to produce unnatural effects in the world. So it's something like a wizard. It's somebody who is tying into or using satanic or evil forces through Satan's power to do things that change what would naturally be possible. So they're doing little mini satanic miracles. That's the type of thing that they're doing. Now, you see that that's very popular in our society now even. There's a strong, there's a fascination with that type of person, a magician or a sorcerer or somebody that is has involved with spells or things along those lines. And a lot of times, you know, it's just intended to be lighthearted and that type of thing. But it's not somebody who's using the power of God to accomplish these tricks or to accomplish this magic, if you will. They're using the power of Satan to do those things. And so not every book is written to be evil that is talking about that. That's not my point in bringing this up tonight. I know many of you are fans of Harry Potter or something along those lines. That's not the idea. But the reality is those books are the power source for doing those spells. Although they may not say it, it's definitely not something that's coming from the Holy Spirit or from God's Spirit that's allowing those things to be done. It's always assuming that there's an alternate power source for people to have the ability to do those things. And there's only two sources of power. There's satanic power and there's God's power. And so that's my only comment on that. That's not the point of this story, though. Why are people, do you think, attracted to sorcery or attracted to stories about magic or that type of thing? Well, one of the reasons is simply this. John 3:19, so many of you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18, he who believes is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, or this is the record, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why throughout history there's been this fascination with people who could produce unnatural results or could do things to change the natural world around them. You know, we covered this recently. If you've been coming out on Wednesday nights, we covered this with Moses. And Moses, when he was going before Pharaoh, Aaron and Moses, they cast down their rod onto the ground, and that rod turned into what?
A snake,
right? Now, Pharaoh commanded his magicians, his sorcerers, to duplicate that. And what happened when they cast down their rods? They turned into snakes, right? Because one was powered by God, Aaron and Moses, the power of them to have their rod be thrown on the ground and turn into a snake, that was the product of God's power. But can Satan be powerful too? Can Satan do unnatural things like taking a rod and turning it into snakes? Yes. Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate that part of the display or that part of the sign that Moses was given by God to show Pharaoh that he was empowered and he was being sent by God. Now, what happened in that story? What did Aaron's rod do? Aaron's snake ate all the other snakes to prove that there's only one God who's more powerful than anything else. But that's just an example of why people are fascinated with what is dark, why they're fascinated by satanic power or satanic things. It's because man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Without God living inside of you, without His Spirit inside of you, you're going to be attracted to the things of darkness because of the sin nature that's taking control of or having control of your thinking and having control of your life. You're going to find yourself without Christ. You're going to be attracted to the things that are in opposition to Christ because you're either for Him or you're against Him. You'll see tonight I have a Team Jesus shirt on because one of you sent this shirt to me without identifying yourself. It just showed up in the mail. So here's a Team Jesus t-shirt. You're either for Him or you're against Him. If you're not on Team Jesus, if you're not promoting or supporting the things that He's supporting, then by default, you're supporting the things that are in opposition to Christ. And that's the situation with Simon the sorcerer. Now, what's one thing as we get into this story, what's one thing that we know about all sorcerers? What does God think about them? What does God want for them? What does God want for everyone who's even following or uplifting the things of darkness? What does God ultimately want for each one of those individuals? Salvation, that they would be saved, right? And that's the awesome story that we're going to get into with Simon the sorcerer. Let's start by reading a little bit about Simon the sorcerer's background. Let's start in verse 9, chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and he astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Now, does it seem like this guy had some powers? Yeah. The people were impressed by him because he was able to do things that they couldn't do with his tricks and with his powers. So that's a little bit about his background. He had become very popular or very famous because of his ability to do these sorcery tricks or these magical tricks. I say a trick because if Satan's the one making it possible, then it's not something that is legitimate. It's not something that could ever be for any benefit or for any good. Now, what's the second part here? This is the amazing part. So, kids, if you're already losing your interest, listen to this part. Simon was a sorcerer, and he was doing his magic, and people were very impressed with him. But now, here comes this guy. Here comes this team of missionaries, and Philip is one of them. And Philip has been preaching the good news of who Jesus is to these people. And you know who's hearing that? Simon is hearing this message about Jesus. So let's keep reading here in verse 12. But when they believed, he's talking about other people, when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They were getting saved. They were converting. They were putting their trust in Christ. How do we know that? Because in the New Testament, baptism is always an external sign of somebody having put their trust in Christ. It was always something that came after they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Many of them would want to give a public witness to that or a public testimony to that. And so they would go down to a very public place and they would be baptized. But the fact that they're being baptized shows that they had believed, they had trusted in Christ, and then they wanted to evidence that by having this external proclamation of their internal faith, by putting their faith on display, so to speak. I had the page turn here when I moved my hand. So that's what was happening. Now let's keep reading verse 13. Then Simon, this is Simon the sorcerer, himself, what happened? Also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. He started following them and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. So was Philip able to do signs and miracles? Was he able to demonstrate God's power? Yeah. And because he came from this background of being able to do that from a satanic influence, because Simon the sorcerer was used to seeing that for himself and being popular because of that, he was amazed to see what God could do through his servants, Philip. Okay, so that was That was the amazing part of the story, is that Simon now gets saved. Now what happens? This doesn't all go good. This story isn't all positive. Simon, he starts to miss the spotlight. He starts to miss other people looking at him and being amazed by him. Because now people are being amazed by the one true God. They're being amazed by the message of who Jesus is and what he's done for people. They're being amazed by these missionaries, including Philip. And he's not getting the spotlight anymore. He's not the popular one anymore. He's not the one that everybody's impressed with anymore. So it's starting to bother him. Start in verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So a couple more missionaries come on the scene, who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You see, because as yet he had fallen upon none of them. The Holy Spirit didn't come into everyone's heart the moment of salvation in this early church time. It happened over a gradual period of time where everyone was eventually given the Holy Spirit to live inside of them. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 18, this is where Simon is getting jealous now. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, what did he do? He offered them money, saying, give me this power, also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. You see, he wanted to be popular and powerful and have God giving him the ability to do these miracles, even though God had just given that ability to his special messengers, his missionaries that he sent out. He gave some of them the ability to do signs to prove that they were legitimate, to prove that God had really been the one who sent them, so that people couldn't be fooled by an imposter who would be saying, I'm from God, but God didn't give him any signs or any power so he could prove it. See, in the early church, that was necessary because you didn't have the Bible yet for people to look to confirm who was telling the truth and who is not telling the truth. You can tell who's telling the truth now by seeing if what they say is found in this book. But that back then, the way that you could tell if somebody was legitimate is if they were given the power by God to demonstrate their authenticity by doing some of these signs. You see, he's now jealous about that. So let's read verse 20 now. This is what happens. Simon needs to be corrected. He needs to be corrected. Let's start reading verse 20 because he's got a bad attitude and his thinking is off. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Now he's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit to allow him to do the same signs that these other missionaries are doing. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. God didn't choose you for that task, Simon. He's chosen others to do that, but he didn't choose you because you don't have a heart that is looking to lift God up. You don't have a heart that's looking to put God in the spotlight. The reason you're interested in this is because you want to be popular again. You want to be the one who everyone else is looking at. So verse 22, what's the solution? Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Meaning, until he changes his thinking, until he changes his mind, until he brings his thinking in alignment with God's thinking, he's not going to be able to move forward in this fellowship relationship with God. Now, what is Simon's response? It's very positive. Simon responds to the correction of the apostles by being very positive. Verse 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. He doesn't fully understand it, but you see that he's responding positively and saying, pray for me. Pray that I could change my mind. Pray that I couldn't be at odds with God, that I couldn't be separated from God, that I couldn't be out of alignment with God, that God couldn't use me because my attitude, my motives, my perspective isn't right. Now, if we're looking at this story and we're thinking about what we just read about Simon, there's a few things that we can learn from this that I want to draw your attention to. First one is this: God saves all kinds of people. God saves all kinds of people. And we can see a verse that brings that to light. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, God loved every one of you and wanted every one of you to be saved, but he also wanted Simon the sorcerer to be saved too. So that's the first thing to learn from this, is God wants to save all kinds of people, no matter what their background is, no matter where they're from. And that's why we should never be unwilling to proclaim the good news of Jesus to some person just because they maybe are acting in a way that's very unpleasant, or they're acting in a way that goes against God. If they're acting in a way that goes against God, or they're acting in a way that's even pursuing things that are evil, what do they need to hear about? They need to hear about Jesus, the one who can give them life and can give them freedom from the evil that they're pursuing, that they're captivated by. And that's the second point here. People are saved by hearing the good news from you. Young ones, look at me now. I know you're trailing off here. People get saved like Simon the sorcerer from hearing the good news about Jesus from people like you. Think about that. It's not just the preacher. It's just not the adults. People get saved from hearing about Jesus from young ones like you too. Are you going to be willing to tell them that? Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How could Simon the sorcerer get saved if he has not believed in that person? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? See, Simon needed to believe in Jesus, but he couldn't believe in Jesus until somebody first told him about Jesus. Now, who was that? One kid that was paying attention. What was his name? Philip, all right, yes, Philip. Philip was willing to open his mouth about Jesus. So this is the last thing, this. Being saved, this is the third thing I want you to take home. Being saved doesn't make you immune from self-centeredness. Being saved doesn't make you immune from being self-centered. And to be self-centered means, it's all about me. I'm the center of everything. You know what, kids? Some of you have a problem with that, right? Sometimes kids, one of the things they really struggle with is they want everything to revolve around them. And in the real world, in God's plan, the whole world doesn't revolve around children. But children have this thing where they're not mature enough, they're not old enough. Sometimes you can't see that there's other people that God is working in and other things that are important besides, I'm hungry right this second, or I want that, or I want that, or give me that, or buy me that. And kids, show of hands, who's ever started thinking like that? Where they're only thinking about me. I need that. You go to, how about this, young people, tell me this, that this isn't true. You went to Target. You went to Walmart. You went somewhere because you needed to buy a birthday present for your brother or a birthday present for your friend. And how many of you, when you got there, started seeing all the other toys that were there and you started saying, forget about brother. Forget about my friend. I want that. Dad, can I get this? And that's because you had your attention shifted. You started out with a good motive. You wanted to do something kind for someone else, but you got captivated by all the fun things that were there. And you started thinking, oh, but what about me? What am I going to get? And you see, when you're going to somebody else's birthday, you're not getting anything. They're the one whose birthday it is, right? So John 3:9 says this, Diotrephes, he loved the preeminence. You see, all of us, we've talked about this before, but all of us have some Diotrephes in us where we want to be the center of attention. And God is saying, I'm the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one who deserves to be the center of attention. It's not us. It's not about us. It's about him and how we can live to lift him up, young people. This isn't about you. It's about how can God use me as a 3-year-old? How can God use me as an 8-year-old? How can God use me as a 10-year-old? How can God use me as a 72-year-old to lift him up? How can my life put the focus and the spotlight on Jesus? How can people see him through the things that I'm saying and doing? And I said there was 3 things you can learn. The 4th thing is this. Getting right with the Lord requires a change of thinking. You see, Simon the sorcerer, he got off track. He started thinking about himself. Now, to change his thinking, he had to be willing to agree that he was wrong, to see that he was thinking incorrectly, and he had to be willing to change his thinking, which he did there in verse 24. You know, some people have the audacity to say that Simon the sorcerer was not a believer. He was not saved. That's not what the Bible says. It says he heard this message and he believed. That's the only key to being saved. They say, well, he couldn't have been a believer because of the way he acted. If the way Simon acted makes him not a believer, none of us are saved. You see, what we do after we put our trust in Christ, that's not what makes us saved. God wants us to live lives for Him. He wants us to make choices and decisions that would lift Him up. But that's not a condition of our being in our family. The only thing that gets us in God's family and keeps us there is, did I believe in what Jesus did for me on the cross? When He said, it is finished, and He said, I died for all your sins, did I believe that? Now, as we end here, it's a spiritual battle for your mind. You can see that with Simon. It was a spiritual battle. Satan wanted control of his thinking. God got in there, got a hold of his thinking, and then the satanic influence of me first, this sin nature inside of him, drew him in a direction where he got off track again, and then the story finishes with him being willing to change his mind and come back into alignment with him. The enemy is very fierce. The enemy is very powerful. And we have a choice. Am I going to live to lift him up, or am I going to live to lift myself up? You know, the Bible, in ending, it says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, part B. These are the choices. It says, this is the instruction. Listen to this. Abhor what is evil. He says this is to all believers. Hate what is evil. And cling to what is good. Those are the choices. You need to abhor and hate what is evil as a child of God. And you need to cling to what is good, which is to cling to Him. Stay focused on Him. That's it for our devotion tonight. We're going to do a little bit more singing. Before I do that, though, I want to bring out a couple of prayer requests that I know about. So if you're taking notes, I don't have an overhead. So if you're going to write these things down, otherwise I just have two of them, and then we can take a show of hands if there's any other prayer requests.